Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air. 3w.realworldradio.fm.
Deep sea mining and sea level rising in Papua New Guinea. CELCOR, Friends of the Earth Papua New Guinea, warns about the dangers of a deep sea mining project to be built in the country by Canadian company Nautilus Minerals and located in the waters of New Ireland and East New Britain provinces. The project, the first of its kind in the world, has already been approved by the government and threatens the food sovereignty of the country, according to CELCOR. Real World Radio interviewed Peter Bosip, representative of this organization in South Lampang, Indonesia, who has participated in the biennial general meeting of Friends of the Earth International. Real World Radio took this opportunity to ask Bosip about other areas of CELCOR's work, such as climate change, in a country where the rise of the sea level is a serious threat to their own existence.
Real World Radio is interviewing Peter Bosip. He is a member of CELCOR, that is Friends of the Earth Papua New Guinea, participating here in South Lampung, Indonesia, in the Biennial General Meeting of Friends of the Earth International. Peter, first of all, welcome. Very nice to be talking with you in Real World Radio.
Thank you, Jose, and okay. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to share my campaign program against a proposed deep sea mining project, a first of its kind in the world, that will be conducted back in my home country, Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Peter, we heard by you and by some other representatives of Friends of the Earth in different parts of Asia about this deep sea mining project that, as you say, is the first of its kind in the world. It is a proposal to be implemented in Papua New Guinea, but we have no idea what it is. So can you please let us know what it is about and what is happening in your country related to this?
Deep sea mining, there is no deep sea mining elsewhere in the world. And in Papua New Guinea, Canadian-owned company known as Nautilus Minerals, they have proposed to the government of Papua New Guinea to conduct an experimental deep sea mining by testing out some methodology that they have to sustainably extract the minerals from the very deep sea that will have less or minimal impact on the surrounding environment. That's including the sea as well as those marine life, and then it also relates to reducing impact on the livelihood of those maritime communities who are dependent on the sea for their livelihood. So when the Nautilus Mineral proposed this to the government of Papua New Guinea back in 2010 and 11, the government agreed to have it as a trial. It's an experimental mine. But then eventually the company made its way to get the government actually give an approval for the actual mining to take place. And that proposal for the actual mine to take place, that got everyone by surprise, including Friends of the Earth Papua New Guinea. And the many NGOs and the communities, we were very scared. We got together. We were discussing about this, the impact this would have. And then we actually, get the communities who are living within those proposed mine area. This is, the mining will be located in the waters of the two provinces in Papua New Guinea. The New Ireland and the East New Britain provinces. So within these two waters, we have got the communities together, and then they have been sharing their views. That was back in 2012. They were sharing their views regarding the impact of this proposed deep sea mine. And then they strongly opposed. And then the opposition from the communities actually spread across to university
academic spaces.
Yes, academic spaces, and also to the churches. We have demanded the government and the company to actually have an environmental plan in place. So we want to see that an environmental plan. And then the church, eventually they engage their own environmental expertise to produce an environmental report. That will be a baseline report that will give us the baseline information on the marine environment, as well as the kind of impact that this sort of mining practice will or method will have on the marine environment and the livelihood of the people.
Okay, Peter, I will try to organize some things of what you are saying. The first thing that I would like to know is what has the government said since 2010 and 2011? What are they saying? They want to implement the project. What do they say to you, for example, to the civil society organizations?
The government, in fact, is keeping a tight lips when it is having a dialogue with the civil society and the academic institutions and the church. But then at the back of us, it goes ahead talking to the company, giving approval, commissioning the mining to actually take place. The decision by the government is actually gazetted in our national gazette, and that's a legal document giving approval. So we have a government that is saying and doing two different things at the same time.
Okay, so there is no yet a final decision to implement this project?
The approval has been given. The company now is in the process of mobilizing the machineries that it requires, and the machineries are built in Germany and these countries, and they will eventually ship them. It is commissioned to actually go into full operation in 2018.
Okay, Peter, you said before that the local communities, you mentioned the areas which are the waters of New Ireland and East New Britain provinces in Papua New Guinea. What are they worried about? What do the communities say about that?
These two provinces, they are coastal, low-lying communities. They are maritime-based. They are dependent on the marine environment. They use the sea for the transportation. They use the sea to harvest the food. They use the sea that relates to the cultural, you know, relations. They have history and relations to how they originated and where they come from, and all this. So the sea is part of the overall, the world view, and their connections and their livelihood is dependent on the sea.
Absolutely.
And once they have realized that from scientific point of view and the environmental reports that the company has produced, there is uncertainty that the impact of that mining will be very huge, and it will affect the livelihood of the people. The people, in terms of food security, there is no food security. The food source will be wiped out, and even the people cannot access the waters anymore to travel in between the two provinces or to go out to the outlying, you know, villages and neighbors. So It all will be restricted.
Okay. I would like to know, Peter, what does the government say to support or to back their idea that the project has to be implemented? What are the reasons that they express for that?
Oh, the government is saying that this project will bring economic or generate revenue for the country, and also saying that environmental impact, the social impact will be minimal. It's all just based on assumption. They are saying that it will all be minimal, but they are saying that it will generate a revenue for the nation, it will create employment for the local people. So these are the two main reasons why the government is saying that that project must go ahead.
And what does CELCOR, Friends of the Earth, Papua New Guinea, think about that? What do you think about that?
We are positioned. That position is we don't want this deep sea mining to go ahead. Back in 2013, then we have mobilized CELCOR, organized a meeting with all the, you know, concerned stakeholders to form a group called PNG Group against deep sea mining, and then we have been liaising or lobbying with Nautilus Minerals country project manager, the government, to stop this from going ahead. But, you know, consider the concerns that are raised by the assumedly affected communities. The concerns are real. We are not. There is no way in the world there is, experience that such mining has minimal impact or has very huge impact on the livelihood of the people. We cannot tell. So Papua New Guinea cannot be used as a guinea pig, as a trial and error to actually, you know, take such, you know, mining method elsewhere.
Okay.
And Papua New Guinea, we our position is clear. We don't want any deep sea mining in Papua New Guinea.
And you said about the position of the local communities, and especially in those provinces that you mentioned where the project is going to be implemented. But what happened with the rest of the population, the rest of the country? What do people say about that?
The rest of the population, they are also in support of no deep sea mine. The number of maritime provinces, we have Milin Bay, we have Moro Bay, we have Mendeng, we have Manus, we have Bougainville, we have these provinces, they are more or less also within the vicinity of this mine. So they are also against this deep sea mining. They don't want this mining to actually take place.
So what do you expect for the future? You expect that this struggle, this fight, achieves the stop of the implementation of the project, Peter?
Yes, to achieve our aspirations for no mining, it requires collective effort, and we will request this support from our friends from around the world, including friends of the head, to show support of solidarity by writing a joint statement. And in particular, we need our friends from FOE Canada to actually work in collaboration with us.
So friends, yes, Canada.
Canada, yes, to work in support, work in collaboration with us to support by going to this Nautilus Minerals head office and then raising the concerns that we have raised. So in this way, I think we can achieve, and we will not stop. We will not stop. We will increase our campaign. We will continue to write to the government of Papua New Guinea saying that this will have a negative impact and we don't want it to happen. The majority of the people are saying no, and we will stand by what we have fought for.
Okay, Peter, what else can you tell us about the environmental reality of your country? In which other issues SAILCOR, Friends of the Earth, Papua New Guinea, work in the country?
Apart from this deep sea mine, SAILCOR is more focused on the forest and biodiversity protection. And in that area, we campaign against expansion of oil palm. We campaign against illegal logging, illegal or unsustainable method of logging. And we advocate to promote human rights in communities that multinational corporations are operating, and then they are suppressing the communities from accessing the land. They are doing illegal land grabbing. They use state agencies to actually arrest and suppress the local landowners who are against the destructive form of development that is taking place in the community. So SAILCOR, Friends of the Earth, Papua New Guinea has been working in 15 provinces out of 22 provinces in Papua New Guinea. So we covered almost the whole country. And because of the geographical terrains, it's really difficult to get to the places, but we have been sending against all this hot, and then we have traveled to these very remote places, disseminating the information, training the communities on the legal rights, how they can defend themselves, demand for prior informed consent if there is any form of development that is to take place in the area, and also train them to be peace mediators. When there is a land use conflict, they will mediate for peace and come up with amicable or consensus way of making decisions on the use of land. At least that will help them to live peacefully in harmony, and then see as those development that will help improve their living standard.
Okay, Peter, you live in an area which is running a huge risk because of climate change, the increase of the level of the sea. What do you have any kind of work on climate change in your country related to that?
Yes, in terms of climate change, Papua New Guinea is one of this small island nations, and we are affected. We have already seen coastal shorelines degrading, sea level rise, it's taking over these coastal shorelines, saline salt inundation, increased salinity that actually destroyed the food gardens and the villages
and the fishery, that's very important for your food sovereignty.
That's right. And even the coral reefs are dying, the bleaching, it causes the coral reefs to die, and this is all happening. So when this is happening, we, because of the resource constraint, we don't have a direct campaign on climate change, but we are relating climate change issues to this deforestation. We want to stop deforestation because that will help in reducing increase in global temperature, and the Paris Agreement COP22 reducing global temperature to less than 1.5. We want to achieve that by helping, educating the communities to keep the forest standing and stop these destructive developments like oil palm expanding. They're clearing, you know, all this wedge and tract of forest that has to be stopped. And this is our focus on that in terms of, you know, the fight against climate change and also in the fight for food sovereignty and also in the fight for economic justice and resisting neoliberalism in these areas of, you know, stopping land grabbing, stopping oil palm from expansion, stopping, you know, illegal and practice and destructive way of logging in Papua New Guinea.
I'm very related, as I am seeing, to the programs of Friends of the Earth International, Peter.
The fight is common. These multinational corporations, they are transnational corporations, and the issues based in Latin America, the issues based in Africa, and the issues based across Asia-Pacific, they are all the same. So although we are in different locations and taking different form of fight, the fight that will actually lead to, you know, stopping these corporates, destabilizing them, and stop the corporates from moving forward. So at least our people are protected.
Okay, understood perfectly. Peter Bossi, representative of CELCOR, Friends of the Earth, Papua New Guinea. You have been very kind. Thank you very much.
Thank you also for giving me this opportunity. And thank you, Friends of the Earth. We are all one. We have to mobilize, we have to resist, and we have to transform this world. Thank you.
Real World Radio, broadcasting free words, building popular communications by FOI.